Hare Krishna, we're reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 10, Chapter 5, the meeting of Nanda Maharaj and Vasudeva. Text 12 without a purport, and then we'll read text 13. So text 12.
Okay.
Offering blessings to the newborn child, Krishna, the wives and daughters of the cowherd men said, "May you become the king of Raja and long maintain all its inhabitants." They sprinkled a mixture of turmeric powder, oil, and water upon the birthless Supreme Lord and offered their prayers. Okay, text 13. Avadyanta vichitrani. Vaditrani mahotsave. Krishna Vishveshvare Nante Nandasya Vrajam Agate Avadyanta vibrated in celebration of Vasudeva's son. Vichitrani, various. Vaditrani, musical instruments. Maha Utsave, in the great festival. Krishna, when Lord Krishna. Vishwa Ishvare, the master of the entire cosmic manifestation. Anante, unlimitedly. Nandasya, of Maharaj Nanda. Vrajam, at the pastoring place. Agate, had so arrived. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Now that the all-pervading, unlimited Lord Krishna, the master of the cosmic manifestation, had arrived within the estate of Maharaj Nanda, various types of musical instruments resounded to celebrate the great festival. Purport. The Lord says in Bhagavad Gita 4.7, Yada yada hi dharmasya glanir bhavati bharata, abhyutanam adharmasya tadatmanam srijamyaham. Whenever and wherever there is a decline in religious practice, O descendant of Bharata, and the predominant rise of irreligion, at that time I descend myself. Whenever Krishna comes, once in a day of Brahma, he comes to the house of Nanda Maharaj in Vrindavan. Krishna is the master of all creation, Sarva Loka Maheshwaram. Therefore, not only in the neighborhood of Nanda Maharaj's estate, but all over the universe and in all the other universes, musical sounds celebrated the auspicious arrival of the Lord. So when Krishna appears, everything is fine everywhere. And Srila Prabhupada quotes in the purport the text from Bhagavad Gita, which gives the purpose of Krishna's appearance. And one purpose is to reestablish religion. And when the religious principles are not respected, are not followed anymore, Krishna comes again to reestablish religious principles. Sometimes people have the wrong conception about what's the purpose of the material world. As we said before, this material world is not Disneyland. So there is a purpose. As I gave this example before, you have to judge something by its purpose. So for example, this example which I gave before, so after this discussion, we'll go for prasadam. And then I can take my telephone and then try to take the kitri with the telephone. And then I will see that this is not very good. And then I can say, oh, this guy is from Samsung. They don't know how to make a telephone. because the khitri is not it doesn't take enough khitri, and if it's wet, it's not at all. So it's not a good telephone, you know. Like, so I can say it in this way, but someone more intelligent will say, "Oh, this is a telephone. This is used for calling people and for Facebook and for this, for that." And if you want to take prasadam, maybe you better use a spoon. It's better design. It's designed for this kind of activity. So it's similarly with this material world. You have to understand what's the purpose. If you don't understand the purpose, then you might get frustrated. Okay, so this world is not Disneyland. This world has two purposes. This world is meant for the souls who don't want to have anything to do with Krishna. So there's souls who are in the spiritual world who like to serve Krishna. And there's souls who don't like to serve Krishna. So these souls have to live somewhere. They have to be somewhere. So that's they have to be somewhere. And this somewhere is this material world. Krishna is like, okay, you don't want to be with me. Okay, I'm everything, so it's tough luck. But anyway, we'll have this material world where we pretend that I don't exist. And then there's two purposes. One is you try to enjoy this material world, and then you get frustrated. And then the other purpose is that one, after you get frustrated, usually, you understand that, look, maybe I can revise my consciousness, maybe. And then you can revise your consciousness and then go back to the spiritual world. So Krishna is very interested in having this world in such a way that people can practice religion, can call it religion. They can practice spirituality in a way that they can come back to the spiritual world. So that's the purpose of the material world. Now, if you come and into the material world and you think that you're gonna enjoy, then it's tough luck because it's not meant for that. So now we have this. These days there's this heavy flood in Slovenia, and I just briefly read the, but it seems really bad. It seems like some people lost their houses, and some people even died, and there's some suffering associated with this kind of events. And you might think the classical question: suffering is good, you know, like suffering in some way, suffering is really good because suffering makes people introspective. You know, they are thinking, why am I suffering? What's going on? You know, when you're happy, when things seem to go your way, then you don't think, what's going on, what's the purpose, you know. Yeah, life is good. But when a bit of suffering, then you're like, oh, what's going on? Why am I suffering? What's the problem? So suffering is good. And also there's it's a good exercise. One of the qualities of the devotees is that it's called Shastra Chakshush. They see things through the eyes of the Shastra. So it's good to try to analyze what's going on in the world from a Shastric perspective. You know, see, okay, does it, we have this, we're reading these books, Bhagavad Gita, Srimad Bhagavatam, and we're looking at reality. And like, how can we understand reality? What's going on, reality? Yeah, anyway, what's going on? How can we understand this from the perspective of the Shastras? So we can see, okay, so now there's this flood, and then people are suffering. Why are they suffering? What's the problem? So then there's two levels of of answering first this transcendental answer is that they are in the wrong place. if you're suffering, it's because you're in the material world. And if you want to stop suffering, you should go back to the spiritual world. Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita that this world is Dukalayam Ashashvatam. Dukalayam means that it's full of suffering. It is like that, so you cannot avoid. In Buddhism, there's these Four Noble Truths. And Buddha says, first of these truths is, Buddha says, is there is suffering. So this material world is full of suffering. And then Krishna says it's not only full of suffering, but it's also temporary. Sometimes there's some suffering and you find something which is like some sort of enjoyment, some sort of peaceful position. And then Krishna says, yes, but it's temporary. even in this material world, you find a good position, and then it's just 1 day, 3 days, 1 year, and then finish, something else. Maybe some people find some shelter, you know, like you have a house, you have a nice family, and then this disaster comes and it takes everything, you know, like all your peaceful life is finished. It's like, I can imagine, you know, it's probably quite shocking, you know, like it's, you think you have some stable situation and finished. One moment. You probably work for it 10, 20 years, 30, and then. So that's the highest solution. You don't want suffering, you have to go back to the spiritual world. And then the second solution is that even among these sufferings, everything depends on following Krishna's rules. You know, this world is meant to also educate. So it's also giving an opportunity to follow some rules. You know, somehow you don't like to be with Krishna. Like in this state, you have the state of Slovenia. You have free will, you don't have to love Slovenia. It is like you can love Slovenia, you cannot love. That's your free will. But there are some things which in Slovenia you cannot do. You know, there are some rules. Okay, you want to be a citizen of Slovenia, you don't have to feel love and so on, but there are some rules. These things you can do, and these things you cannot do, you know. So there is some expectation that you are acting on somehow a responsible level. That you're following some laws of the state. You know? It's not, they are not forcing you to love, I don't know, you have to love Slovenia. But there's some rules that you have to follow. So similarly, in this material universe, it's made in such a way that you don't have to love Krishna. But you have to follow some rules. And it's not so much that you have to follow, but everything you do has some consequences. You can do whatever you want, and you have to pay the price. Like someone, sometimes children want to go away from their parents. And there's, yes, okay, that can be done, but you pay your own bills. Before that, the parents were paying your bills, but now you want to live independent from your parents, no problem. But you pay your own bills. More or less. Independence comes with some responsibility. So, there's this system which is meant to make people responsible in the universe. Whatever everyone does, there's some reaction. You do good things, you get good results. You get do bad things, you get bad results. So this is called karma. And this karma is not so personal. It's a very impersonal system. Like you go to the court, the judge there doesn't have so much feelings, you know, like, oh, I love this person, I don't love this person. Okay, what did he do? This. Okay, he takes the law book. Okay, for this, the result is this. Okay, 3 years in prison. Finish. No. And the problem is that the authorities in the universe, they are infallible. There's nothing that you can, you know, get under the carpet that they don't see. They will see everything. Everything is recorded and everything will give a result. Horrible. Of course, sometimes there seems to be no result because there needs to be the right moment for the result to be given. So sometimes the result will be given after some time, but there is always a result. Okay, and there is also this individual karma, and there is also this idea of group karma, which is more or less not so much about a group. It's a group is a form which has the same reaction, is more or less formed of people who have to have same reaction, have done similar things in the past, and they have to have the same reactions. There's this there's this joke which I like, which explains quite well how this group karma works. So there's this guy on this cruising ship, and they are just enjoying, and then this big storm is coming. And this person, you know, like there's one person, and this is a bit pious, not too much, but a bit. And he is like thinking, okay, this is last chapter, and we're gonna die, everyone. So he looks into the sky, and he says, "Oh God, you know I was sinful, and you know." I understand that I have to die, and that's your judgment, and that's completely fair. But, you know, there's other people on this boat, and what have they done? What do they have to suffer for my sins? And there's a voice from the sky, and it comes, "Well, if you know how much time it took me to put you all together." So more or less, that's how group karma works. You know, like there's there's a group calamity, people are somehow put by authorities in the universe in that position that they have same reaction together. But it's more or less like individual. Anyway. So the whole idea is that there are some rules in the universe, and following the rules of the universe means more or less following indirectly Krishna. Is not direct, but indirectly you accept there is some rules, which is eventually Krishna's rules. And the whole point is the more you accept Krishna, the better life is in the material world. You accept his laws, okay, then life is a bit better. You accept his laws and you do some worship to Krishna. You accept, oh, Krishna also exists. I mean, he has his problems, I have my problems. But I accept he is, and he's stronger than me, and he seems to be like a good guy. Then you get elevated to a higher position in the material world. But whatever position you are in, there, if you're still in the material world, there is some suffering, some problems. It cannot be 100% happiness. Even in higher planets, there's all Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 7, 8, they are full of problems that are happening with the demigods, which they are living like long lives and high standard of happiness, but still, there's problems. So, and this is meant to discourage us. So this is meant to discourage us from finding solutions in the material world. It's meant to tell us, look, there is no solution in the material world. There's no shelter. Your house will break down. Eventually, maybe yes, maybe not, but your body will break down at some point. So there's no solution. The only solution is that you worship Krishna and then you return back to Godhead. And then in the spiritual world, there are no floods. Or there might be floods, but if they are full of bliss. Everyone is completely blissful when there is a flood in the spiritual world. If there are any plan. Everything in the spiritual world is full of joy. Okay. So this suffering sometimes is also, and this moment is really good to become more introspective, as I said before. Suffering makes usually people more introspective. And there's, Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, there's four categories of people who approach him. If someone is more pious, then he will approach Krishna when he's suffering. Yeah, this is quite practical. We had this COVID lockdowns in Romania. And after this COVID, we had, I went out and, or I think there was more or less some sort of lockdown. And I went out for book distribution, you know, like I was distributing books. And like more or less everyone took the books, you know, like, because there was a problem and they were thinking, whoa, yeah, maybe, you know, maybe there's some solution to this problem. But the main problem with this suffering, with this mentality, is that as soon as they stop suffering, people don't take it seriously anymore. So then after 2 weeks after, there was no more lockdowns, you know, like rules relaxed a bit. I was going same place, more or less probably same people, and I was trying to distribute them books, you know, spiritual knowledge, downtown, no. Yeah, now I'm interested. Life is good. So, yeah, there's problems. Problem is that people have short memory, and so they have to suffer again. So Krishna will very nicely put them in more suffering. The other point is that for the devotees, we have to see karma, this suffering, a bit differently. Because for the devotees, it's mostly not karma. Karma is like impersonal. Karma is like you do something, you get something, finish, you know, like. But for the devotees, it's called Krishna karma. And it looks very similar. It might look very similar for a devotee, you know, like. But the purpose is to bring someone closer to Krishna. So sometimes you can get reactions, some sort of reactions. And from your perspective, it's good to think, okay, this is a reaction for my past sinful activities and I better become more serious. But Krishna gives these reactions in a way that you can make spiritual progress. And also sometimes it can give you reactions in a way to make you detached. You know, like it might ruin your something, your activity, because he wants you to become more serious. You know, like you're thinking, oh, I'm chanting Hare Krishna, I don't know. Just to give an example, maybe he's not going to do that. I have this nice football career and Krishna, I'm chanting this very seriously and this gives me an injury. My football career is over. I'm just saying, maybe he does it, maybe he doesn't do it. But he might do this, you know, like he might see, look, why so much football? Just move to the ashram and chant Hare Krishna. Why why so much football? You know, like. Of course, for everyone has different situation, and Krishna knows what's useful for everyone. But the main point is sometimes Krishna might ruin you something material just to put you in a better position spiritually. So that's very important. That it's not impersonal anymore. It's not just some reaction you're getting just because you know, like you have to get some reaction. It's like. It's personal. it's the loving. it's the love of the father. You know, like usually the mother gives you love. You know, like yeah, you can do that. Yeah, you can do that. And the father, when the loving father, sometimes he gives you a reaction. Look. You cannot go that way. You cannot do this. You have to be punished and you have to understand that you have to be more responsible. What's this? You know, like, more or less. So Krishna is more like, sometimes he's like a loving father. And we have to see this in this way, that, oh, I'm getting this. It's hard that you're there and you're like, oh, Krishna just destroyed my football career because he loves me. Okay. It might be hard to understand at that point, you know, like, but if you're introspective. Okay. So, of course, these kind of things, they can be hard to accept even for devotees, you know, like, in theory, it's like, yeah, sure. But when it happens to you, you're like, why does this happen to you, to me? Yeah, it's hard to see it as Krishna's mercy and to see, okay, what can I learn from this situation? How can I become more Krishna conscious? How can I become more serious, more? And to be thankful for the hard knocks. It's hard, huh? So, and of course, we don't really preach that way to people on the street. We don't say, oh, these floods are because you are sinful. Of course, it's true, but we need to find a way how to present it in a more palatable way, you know, like that they can accept it, you know, like that it's not just truthful, that it's also acceptable for them, and that it's productive, you know, like in some way. I don't know. We have to think how to give them some knowledge without telling them, you know, like directly. You know, you cannot. Most of the people will not accept it, you know, like that way. So the solution, the Vedic solution to this problem is flood is more Harinam Sankirtan and more book distribution.
There's, it's probably if we, and of course we have to do it in an intelligent way, because yeah, some in Romania at some point they had some floods and the devotees went there and chanted, and people were like they had no food supplies and they had you know, and it was quite. It didn't get the right effect. Let's call it like that. People were thinking, what's with these crazy people? You know, like, of course, you know, from a spiritual perspective, they got the highest benefit of hearing the Maha Mantra, and maybe they got some prasadam. But you know, like, so you have to see how to do it in an intelligent way. But that's the actual solution: giving more chanting and more book distribution, more, because if you don't give people knowledge, if you don't educate people, they're gonna do the same things again, and the results will be the same, and the reaction might be harder and harder, 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 more serious, until they wake up and say, maybe we are doing something wrong. And then Krishna will be, ta-na, finally. You know, like this every moment. So, yeah, we have to do it in an intelligent way. But the point is that we have to distribute this, to chant more, to distribute more knowledge to people and to educate them, and that they can understand what's going on, and then they can see things from a spiritual perspective, and then they can improve. If you don't know, you just hit the your head against the wall and you don't know why, then how can you change it? Now you're just going to do the same thing over and over again. So education is really important. Not only for non-devotees, also for devotees. If you want to survive in the Krishna consciousness movement during the hard times, so-called hard times, you have to read Srila Prabhupada's books and you have to understand what's going on. And then when some problem happens and if you have the proper understanding what's going on, what is the solution, and where's the destination, then this makes it a lot easier to go through that problem. Otherwise, if you don't have the knowledge, you don't know what's going on, it's really hard, and you'll say, oh, this Krishna consciousness doesn't work. You know, like, whatever. So it's really important to distribute this knowledge not only amongst non-devotees, but amongst also devotees. So that's, yeah. Okay. Yeah, there's... Oh! Okay. This is by Srila Prabhupada. Srila Prabhupada found this verse in Chaitanya Charitamrita. He was studying, he was translating Chaitanya Charitamrita. And he found this verse. And he immediately, he translated it, he made the purport, and he sent it direct immediately to all the ISKCON temples. You know, usually you wait for the book, and then the books get published and so on. So this verse he sent directly to all the temples. And this verse says in Chaitanya Charitamrita Madhya, man becomes strong and stout by eating sufficient grains, but the devotee who simply eats ordinary grains but does not taste the transcendental pastimes of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Krishna gradually becomes weak and falls down from the transcendental position. However, if one drinks but a drop of the nectar of Krishna's pastimes, his body and mind begin to bloom and he begins to laugh, sing and dance. And the purport is even more interesting. It says, Srila Prabhupada says, all the devotees connected with the Krishna consciousness movement must read all the books that have been translated. Must. This is the word. The Chaitanya Charitamrita, Srimad Bhagavatam, Bhagavad Gita, and others. Otherwise, after some time, they will simply eat, sleep, and fall down from their position. Thus, they will miss the opportunity to attain an eternal, blissful life of transcendental pleasure. Okay. I'll stop here. I already speak too much. If there are some questions, comments.
Which verse is this Madhya?
Madhya 25, 278.
these karmas. I've heard or read somewhere that even the areas or places could have a karma. Is it possible?
Maybe. I understand there's some modes which affect some areas, and you can say it's more like, but
okay.
I don't know. I'm not an expert in this, but somehow you can see that there's different places are affected by different modes, and in some places that, like, there's there's a story from Mahabharata. The Pandavas are going somewhere, I don't remember the details, and they are crossing a river, and after they crossing the river, Bhima is like very agitated. Everyone is very agitated, some strange thing, you know, like in a strange way. And then Yudhishthira says, oh, this is not a good place, we have to go from here. Yes, Yudhishthira is wise. So, yeah, there's some different, but also this karma can be purified. But yeah, I don't know. Mike.
Hare Krishna. I just want to clear one thing. Okay, Hare Krishna. In the beginning you said that Krishna comes once in a day of Brahma.
Yeah.
And on the other hand, he also said that he comes whenever his decline of spiritual movement and, when there are more demons and less.
How this to fit together? Well, he can come, personally he comes once in a day of Brahma, as in the form of Krishna. And then after, in the same day of Brahma, in the same cycle, Lord Chaitanya comes. But this is not the only appearance. There's also other avatars, and there's also other expansions, and there's Shakti Avesh avatars, and so it's sometimes personally, sometimes not. Okay. Jai. Grantarachimad Bhagavatam ki jai.